Well, let's pray together. Awesome God, thank you again for your presence in this place. And God, I thank you for these words that you have given to me by your Holy Spirit. And I pray as I share them here this morning, God, that there will be more of you in them and less of me. I pray all that in Jesus' name. Amen. So this is a final message in a series that I've been preaching about things that we are afraid of. I think it's important for us to face our fears, don't you? Not to pretend like they're not there, but actually to face our fears. It's important for us to talk about what we are afraid of. And as people of God, it's important for us to invite Him into those places to walk with us and give us the strength that we need to face those things, whatever they are. I'm positive that inviting Him to walk with us through the scary places and the scary times will make it less likely that those scary places and scary times will define us, right? And become really who we are and consume us. If God is in them with us, then we will be stronger to face them. I hope that the messages that I've preached about some of your fears have helped you to know that. That doesn't mean that we won't be afraid anymore. I'm pretty sure there will always be things that we fear in this life, so we will always be afraid. But I hope this series has been helpful, and I hope God has spoken to you through it, so maybe your fears, whatever they are, will be a little easier for you to live with and to deal with and to walk through. I'm pretty certain that there's no sermon that will be able to keep you from screaming when you see a big spider if you have arachnophobia, right? That would be a heck of a sermon. Or always looking around you for a fin swimming around in the water with you in the ocean if you have galeophobia. I don't think that there is a sermon good enough to completely eradicate your fears, but I do believe God is good. I do believe God is faithful and that He loves you. And I know that we can read in Isaiah 41 that He said, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand." God does not want you to be afraid, but when you are afraid, He wants you to know that He's with you in that fear. Amen? Amen. So this message is going to be a little different than the others. Rather than talking about something that a lot of people do fear, we'll be talking about something that we sometimes don't fear quite enough, or that we don't fear at all sometimes. That thing is Satan, and it's his schemes and his lies and his temptations. That thing is what Peter called our enemy, who prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. That's a good way to put it, isn't it? Make you want to go out into the jungle? So today we're going to consider whether or not we are scared enough of the destruction that Satan can bring. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Sounds pretty scary when it's put that way, doesn't it? It sounds pretty scary. I was blessed to be able to go to Africa on a trip to Africa University about 3 years ago. And our group spent 2 nights in a wildlife park in Botswana where we slept in tents. Tents. They were nice tents equipped with full bathrooms and all of the amenities you might find in a nice hotel room, but it was still a tent that we were sleeping in the jungle. The walls that separated me from the roaring lions that I could hear walking around all night long were made of canvas. The sound of a roaring lion is one of the loudest, most frightening noises I have ever heard in my entire life. The ground actually shakes when a lion roars. It gives a person great perspective in terms of our place on the food chain, right? At least our place on the food chain when we are in a tent and there are lions in the neighborhood, right? A canvas tent. So that's where I feel like pushing back a little on what Peter said here about Satan. Well, I think he is powerful like a roaring lion. I don't think he roars like one. I don't think he roars like one. I think he's powerful, and I think he's able to sneak up on us even before we know that he's gotten there. even after it's too late. Satan, in my experience, sneaks up and stays quiet and out of sight until just the right time, and then he pounces and attacks and devours his unsuspecting prey. He's a lot like a lion, right? But even lions don't roar when they're on their way to an attack, do they? He did that to a family that we know in Kokomo recently. There were issues in the marriage, and so Satan very quietly convinced this husband to confide in another woman about his marital problems. And then Satan convinced that other woman to allow that and to be a shoulder for this husband to cry on. And before the two of them knew what had happened, Satan had pounced and an affair had started. He didn't roar on his way in, though, did he? He came ever so quietly, like a snake in the grass. How many stories have you heard or been a part of about Satan sneaking up and saying, one drink won't hurt anything? Or it's okay to do that drug one time. It's just once. And besides, everyone else is doing it. You don't want to stand out. And before they know it, they've been convinced that a few vodka drinks alone every night isn't so bad, or that doing those drugs more often and in a more normal, scheduled way is just regular behavior, right? And all the while, Satan is patting them on the back, assuring them that what they're doing is just fine, right? It's okay. And then one day they look back and realize Satan led them right into alcohol dependency or drug addiction or some other addiction that he made to seem perfectly fine, like gambling or pornography, right? But he didn't roar on his way in, did he? No, he came in quietly. How many times does he sneak into your life and convince you that it's okay to gossip about someone? How many times to speak poorly about another person who isn't there to defend themselves or clear up what might be bad information? And he says, oh, don't worry. Don't worry. Keep talking to those people about that other person who isn't here. It's okay. Really. You're not hurting anything. And God doesn't mind because it might be true after all. Right? So it's not really gossip. Or maybe he's there in the back of your mind helping you to justify gossip by masking it as a prayer request. Happens all the time. You know it, and I know it. But he doesn't roar on the way in, does he? No, he takes slow, quiet, well-thought-out, strategic steps. And before you know what hit you, he has convinced you that full-on gossip and slander are perfectly fine. No problem. Satan is also a master at taking away a Christian's peace, isn't he? Have you noticed that? He doesn't stop at physical temptations like gossip and drinking and marital unfaithfulness. He goes even further than that. He takes our confidence away from us. He takes our joy away from us. He takes our love of self away from us if we let him. He attacks us in whatever way we allow him to attack us, doesn't he? He does that. And again, he doesn't come roaring in so that we can run the other way. He sneaks in and he's there upon us before we even know it. And I could keep going. I could keep going all day long with example after example after example of how Satan secretly makes his way into our lives, making us think even the worst behaviors and the worst thoughts and the worst words are actually okay. And we should feel free to just carry on with them. He has literally been doing this since the beginning of time. Literally. God told Adam and Eve in plain English in the garden not to eat of the fruit of the tree of good, of knowledge and the knowledge of good and evil. I'm just kidding. He didn't do that in plain English. There was no plain English, but we can read it in plain English, can't we? That's what he said. Don't eat from that tree. He said it so simply, and we can read that in Genesis chapter 2. If you want to read it in an old language that he may have used to speak to Adam and Eve, you can do that. But you can also read it in plain English in Genesis chapter 2. But then in Genesis chapter 3, guess what happens? Satan comes slithering in, right? Satan comes onto the scene disguised as a serpent to make it seem perfectly fine to do the very thing that God said not to do, right? Scripture says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any other animal that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God say you shall not eat from any tree in the garden?' The woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you shall die.' But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not. You will not die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate." You see what he did? You see what he did there? He made what was clearly bad appear to be very good. He took a behavior that Adam and Eve knew was forbidden, and ever so slightly and ever so slowly and ever so quietly, he tricked them into thinking that it wouldn't be that bad for them to do it. It wouldn't be that bad. In fact, Satan is so sly that he even had them thinking that God was in the wrong for ever having asked them not to do it, right? They were convinced that God should have never even asked them, but he didn't roar on his way in, did he? No, he slithered in nice and quiet, disguised as something that he is not. That is why we should fear Satan. That's why we should fear Satan. And let me explain what I mean by that. I don't mean that we should be afraid that he can overpower us, because when we are in Christ, when we are connected to God through our relationship with Jesus, he cannot overpower us. Amen? He cannot overpower us. Satan is no match for us when we are in Christ. He's no match for Jesus or those who are living their lives connected to Jesus and trusting in him and gaining strength and power from him. He's no match for you when you are in Christ. However, Peter tells us in the passage we heard this morning that we should be self-controlled and alert because the devil prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Be self-controlled and alert. That means we should always be aware of his presence, right? Of his possible attacks. So if you fear lions, let's just say you have that fear. I'm sorry, but I didn't research the name of it. But if you fear lions, are you going to walk around in the jungle where you know there are lions with headphones in and your music up and just bebopping around, foot loose and fancy free? Are you doing that? Or, Jeremy's like, yeah, that's what I'm doing. Or are you going to be alert, right? Like to the point of paranoia, probably. Like, oh, what was that? What was that noise? You're going to be alert, right? Seeing to it that a lion at least doesn't easily sneak up on you, right? You'll be alert. If you're afraid of spiders, like I am, are you going to walk into an old dark shed at night and reach your hands up into those dark corners of the shelves, right? Or into some other little area where a spider might be? Or are you going to turn the light on and come back the next day to reach up onto those shelves and be a little more cautious and alert of the fact that there might be a spider in there ready to devour you? That's what my mind does. That is what I believe Peter was attempting to get at through this passage. He was trying to help us understand that Satan is dangerous. Satan is dangerous. He's sneaky, and he will devour you if you allow him to. He will do to you just like he did to Adam and Eve. He will convince you that wrong is right, that forbidden is not forbidden, that sin is not sin. So Peter reminds us through this passage to be alert. Like, don't be naive, people, right? He's real, and he's there, and he will win if you let him. But Peter didn't stop there. He went on to say, resist him, standing firm in the faith. I love this part because it's about the power of God through Christ being all that we need to resist the devil. That's what he's saying. You see, Satan is no match for God, like I said already. And so he is no match for the people of God when we are alert and standing firm in the faith. Satan is no match for us when we are living into our relationship with God through Christ. Satan is no match for us when we are intentional about growing in our faith and building our trust in Christ and relying on him for strength and putting our whole hope in Christ. He's no match for us when that's the case. He's no match for us when we put on what Paul calls the armor of God in Ephesians 6. We should all know this passage, right? He says there, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. Stand firm then, he said, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, Paul says, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. When we have donned the whole armor of God, Satan is no match for us. Amen? Amen. No match. But as soon as we let our guard down, as soon as we let our guard down, as soon as we take him for granted or stop fearing him, or even worse, as soon as we back off of our relationship with Jesus, as soon as we stop doing all that is necessary to grow in our faith in him, as soon as we take off any of the armor of God, then we get weak. And Satan knows it, and he is there like a lion ready to devour its prey. Church, let us not be naive. Let us not be naive and think that if we say we're Christians and attend Sunday worship sometimes or attend Sunday worship all the time, that Satan isn't dangerous anymore. Let me tell you something. The strongest Christian in here is in the most danger of Satan coming. You know why? Because the rest of us are no danger to him. Right? When we are not in Christ, Satan has already won. When we are taking our relationship with Jesus for granted, Satan has already won, right? He needs to put his focus on the people whose relationship is in Christ, and he's going to attack those people, right? So let us not be naive and think that either our nominal Christianity is enough, or even that our full-on commitment to Christ is enough, right? He's there, and we should be alert. Always. Scott McKnight, who writes in the NIV commentary on the book of 1 Peter, he wrote there, even amongst Christians who do believe in the devil's existence, there is often a marked blindedness about the reality of spiritual warfare and the nature of the enemy's tactics. A blindedness. Then he rightly says, Satan wants to ruin us. He wants to ruin us and the impact, and he also wants to ruin the impact of the gospel in our world. He does that most effectively when we are naive. When we are naive and don't fear him. When we are not alert and allow him to sneak up unexpected and unhindered to devour us. That is when he ruins us. You have seen it. I have seen it. Right? You've seen him sneak up. I've seen him sneak up. And I look back and I think, I was so naive to think that I was above that for some reason. So my prayer for us this morning is that we will be ready. That we'll be ready, that we will be alert, that we will stand firm in our faith and resist him. My prayer is that we will know now and that we will know always that if we are a threat to him, which if we are Christians, we are a threat to him. All serious, growing Christians are a threat to Satan. That he'll always be prowling. If you are a threat to Satan, which if you are a Christian, you are, then he will always be there prowling. But know this, he is no match for Jesus. Amen? He's no match for Jesus. And when you are in Christ, really in Christ, he is no match for you either, church. So stay alert, stand firm in your faith, and resist Satan. Let's pray together. Powerful God, we thank you for this message. God, we thank you that Peter gave us these powerful words, God, to remind us that Satan is always there, always looking for cracks in our armor, God, that he could get in and devour us. God, make us alert. Help us to stand firm in our faith and to resist him through Christ. We pray all this in his precious name. Amen.